What's up, planner lovers? It's your girl Sharice, and I'm back for this week's episode of the Plan on Purpose podcast. This week we have DIY expert AV Perkins, and I'm so excited for you to hear her story. She's been on HGTV, she's been in the Huffington Post, Ebony, BuzzFeed. I mean, she's been out here really killing it in this DIY game. I love the fact that she's been able to take all of the things that she's learned from her background in decorating and art to help us, and by us I mean me, figure out how to make our homes reflect the things that we want to see, which would be things that we made. I don't know about you, but I love a good handmade project sitting somewhere where I can see it, because I did that. We're going to talk about how she turned her DIY love into a career that really helped her do the thing that she loves every day. Hey, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you share it with a friend. Head on over to Plan on Purpose on Instagram and let me know what you thought about today's episode. Let's get into it. So first, I just want to say thank you so much for joining me. I absolutely love what you're doing and all of the DIY amazingness that you have. But for people who don't know who you are, please introduce yourself to my audience.
Hey, everyone. My name is AV Perkins. I am a DIY expert influencer and digital host for HGTV. I am the creator of AVDoesWhat.com, the DIY and lifestyle blog.
I love it. So you mentioned, as I was kind of looking through your story, that you got into crafting because of your dad. Can you tell me how that happened?
Well, background. My background is in film and television. I did props and set decorating for 10 years. And as I was, you know, just working and doing that, my father passed away suddenly. And what I did, obviously it was a devastating loss. And instead of, you know, doing like an online diary or a diary of sort, I started AV Does What as a dedication to him. You know, he worked in construction and taught me how to work and create with my hands. So I decided to just do DIY projects. And yeah, so it wasn't an outright dedication, but it was like, you know, more of an internal kind of thing. And after a while, people started doing the crafts and doing the projects that I was doing. And I said, wow, this might be a thing. And then brands started reaching out and then I started getting paid. I'm like, oh, wow, this is definitely a thing. So that kind of like kept going in that direction for sure.
Yeah. So it just happened where you were kind of doing your thing and then it just was like, oh, this is, people are paying attention to this.
Yes. And that was not my intention, like in life at all.
Yeah. Yeah. How did your film industry skills transfer into like what you're doing now? I mean, obviously artistically with set direction, but like how did everything else like transfer into what you're doing now?
Well, it has saved me a lot of money and time and resources because I didn't have to be one of those influencers that had to hire someone to edit or to film their projects. Or, you know, when I first started getting into blogging and influencing, video was a little bit newer. Like people had YouTube channels, but it wasn't as focused as video it is now, right? Because like now everything is video's the future. You have to get into video. All your content has to be video. Back then it was, you can get through with pictures and, you know, but for those who wanted to get into video, there was a learning curve of not knowing how to create, produce and edit videos. But luckily I did have that background. So that definitely helped me transition into this part of content creation for sure.
Now you talking about how you just kind of talked about how you crafting really helped you to grieve. Can you tell me how that process went for you? And if you have any advice for anyone else right now, especially during this time, that may be looking for an outlet to help them deal with some things that are tough?
Yeah, crafting can be very rewarding, right? Just the act of making, the act of creating something, because creative energy is, it's a neutral energy. Like people automatically think it's positive, but you can create terrible things, right? And you can like the same, absolutely. And you can create beautiful things. So creating and kind of like transmuting that energy, that negative energy, like grief and pain and sorrow, and transmuting it into making and creating things that are beautiful, that beautify your home, beautify your life. It really, it's literally, it's a transformation, right? It's meditative. It's all of those things going from literally like the top of your head and the bottom of your feet going into your hands. And they're literally just, I think of it almost like when you like those superheroes where they had like the power shooting out of their hands. It's the It's the same concept, but you're using all of that energy to do those things. And then it has a reward at the end. So even if it's not a grandiose masterpiece, it's still something that you made. It's still something that you saw from beginning to end. And there is a reward and a feeling of accomplishment when you do that. So it's all good vibes.
Yeah, definitely. It I feel the same way too when I'm playing around with some of the things that I do. And when you finish and you look at it, you're like, oh, this is actually nice. I'm glad that I did this. And even sometimes too, when I'm trying to get out of a, you know, creative funk, I guess, seeing things that I've already done, it definitely helps that. You traveled to Africa and you taught art. Tell me about that experience and how it, if it did, have any change your perspective in crafting and in art.
Well, it changed my whole life, actually. And this was before the blog. I was going through what I affectionately call my eat, pray, love phase. I had lost my job. I was a decorator in a furniture store. And I was fired on Black Friday. Don't ask. Like, who gets fired on Black Friday? Me.
Right.
And it's like, wait a minute, the busiest day of the year? Yep. And they were like, yeah, we're good. And I'm like, fine. I didn't like you guys anyway. Whatever. And then, so like I mentioned, that was Black Friday. And in January, that's when my father had passed away. So that same year. But my plan was, even before I got fired, my plan was to leave that job at the top of the year and travel. Like, you know, I wanted to dabble in this 9-to-5 thing just to see what it was like, just to see that I did it, because I was always a freelancer. And I realized, and I learned, I was like, yeah, this is not for me. I don't know how people do it, but I was not cut out for it. But anyway, mm-hmm. My plan was to, you know, take time and travel abroad. I never got a chance to study abroad in college. So I was like, well, you know, I can do what I want. I'm grown. So that was my plan.
Right.
And then, like I mentioned, you know, I had made the decision to do that, lost the job, and then lost my father. So the trip became a whole different thing. It's not what I had signed up for, like, initially. Going there, I was teaching art in an orphanage. And, you know, you go there, not, I don't want to say a savior complex, right? But my family, I'm a child of immigrants, but I am an American citizen. So that we do have certain privileges here that other people may not have, right? And then the fact that I can just go and teach somewhere, right? So you don't think you have a savior complex, but deep down, you dig deep down, it's somewhere there, right? But going there, and it's in an orphanage, and I had just lost my father, it was like a whole mind, like, F, right? You know, it was, you know, I was fresh off of that pain and experience and meeting children that had lost both parents. Or the way how it was there, it's more so kind of like how we view foster care. Mm-hmm. That is how they were treating orphanages. So some may have lost both of their parents, or one parent, or maybe a parent just can't take care of them. So they may have feelings of abandonment. And some of the best souls I've ever met in my life were those children. I wept so hard when I left, because I didn't want to leave, you know. And in teaching them art, teaching them how to create and utilize the things that they have, it was a very transformative experience. And then some of the other volunteers that I met as well are still amazing people. So yeah, it was great.
It sounds like a great trip. I mean, just being able to get outside of everything that you had going on at that time and push yourself into doing something different, but also going with a certain expectation and having everything completely change. I mean, Yeah, it sounds like it was amazing. And of course, I like stalked you and looked at your pictures and looked like you were having like a great time.
Yeah, I did. And it's like, you know, you want it one way, but it's the other, right? And that's just mm-hmm. how literally life can come at you fast. And another great part about the trip is that I was able to see different parts of the country. So mm-hmm. It didn't just end up like, okay, I am volunteering with all of these poor children. Oh my gosh, let me help them all, right. You know?
Yeah.
I was able to see some of the areas that they were rich, right?
Yeah, right.
So it was like, there was not a lot of like a middle class situation. So it was like you had mm-hmm. it or you didn't, you know? Mm-hmm. And I tell some of my friends who are from Ghana, like, I got more street cred than some of y'all. I've been in the streets, man.
Like, I know you good. I know where to go.
I was like waiting at like a bus stop, and it was kind of like, I mean, you're not from New York, but in Brooklyn, like, we have these things called like dollar van, right? And the dollar van literally is just, it's like Uber before Uber. So before Uber was a thing, right. It was like literally somebody like driving around, you pay them a dollar and they drive on the bus line, but it's literally like a mini bus. Yeah. So it's the same concept from in Ghana. And it's cool because you think of it like, you know, ancestrally, right? Like, oh, people still retain these thoughts and way of commerce. But yeah, so it's not the formal bus. It's like a cheaper bus transportation type of system. And as I was waiting for this bus, I saw like a Range Rover, right? And I'm like, okay, cool.
Right.
It's there. You see you. Like, I see you. Waiting for the bus. Like, okay. So it is awesome to be able to see different parts where, you know, Western media may say, oh, everyone lives just like this. And it's like, no, that's not the case at all.
Yeah. I had studied abroad in college, and I went to France because I wanted to speak the language. I learned to speak the language. And just same, not exactly the same because a little different, but you sit in a classroom and you look at these pictures and they just, everything is just beautiful and coffee and baguettes and, you know, like all these different things. And you get there, you're like, like this is a whole place, just like any other place. And Paris itself is a big city, but it's just like any other big city. So you get the star kind of like starry eyed feel a little bit when you go see the Eiffel Tower and it's just beautiful. But if you're there long enough, you're like, wait a minute, like,
listen, on that.
Attention to what I'm doing.
So this same trip that I was on, like I mentioned, it was like my eat, pray, love trip. So just like the movies, but I did not fall in love with some like strapping, good looking stranger. It was with children, and I was like, this is definitely not what I signed up for. These kids is cute, but I was supposed to find, you know, a bae.
Right.
But I'm supposed to come back with a nice little ring. Yeah, you know. Yeah. And on this trip, I was able to go to Ghana, London, and Paris. So, So when I went to Paris, because I was in Ghana for about like 6 weeks, and then I went to London for like a week, and then I went to Paris for a day because I said YOLO. You know, we're here. I'm exactly. Paris is right there. So it was a day trip. But I'm convinced these guys try to pick my pocket. So I always look at Paris sideways.
it definitely happens there. It happens in, I think we just forget when we're traveling, especially in different countries, that like these are big cities, just like big cities in America. Like if you're in certain big cities in America and you're a tourist, you better get it together and watch out now. Like it's the same thing.
I would like, not forget because I'm from New York. So we don't trust people. Off the rip. So it was more so like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
What you trying to do? Like I said,
Well, this it's fun though. I absolutely love it. I think that getting these experiences always help us kind of like shape everything. Because there are certain things that I still do now because of those experiences. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely dope. You had some thoughts about changing the face of DIY. I love that. I love that when I read that. Tell me what you mean by that and how you're going about doing that.
Right. So that can be as vague and as nuanced as read, right? Now, the literal face, right? Like myself, there are not a lot of women of color in the space, you know, professionally. Like, we are crafting and there are tons of Facebook groups and, you know, meeting areas where women of color, Black women are crafting and creating. Like, we've been doing that for a long time, but in the terms of professionally and getting, you know, where the money resides, you know, it's right. Not, there's not a lot of us. So I'm right. here to, you know, like, hey, we are here, we're creating and we are doing all of those things because the space is very much like how Martha Stewart is. And I love Martha Stewart, you know, she is the OG of this. But
right.
I also believe, like, even when I got started doing this professionally, I felt like there were things like naturally we might take for granted. Like, oh, you know, hey, you just, you know, like, even like it was like kitchen hacks or just things that you yeah. do, you might have grown up just doing. Our mothers, our grandmothers, our fathers, mm-hmm. whatever may have taught us this. And, but it's like, no, this is a blog post. This is a video because someone else doesn't know this. Right.
Right
and
right.
for a good chunk of the beginning of my career doing this, I sat on so many gems that I end up seeing other people post. And I was like, wait a minute, I don't want right. to insult my audience thinking this is what you do. Everyone's been doing that. And it's like, no, sis, everyone's not doing that. So do it. So that's one yes. part of, you know, changing the face of it. And even like I mentioned, I'm a New Yorker. I love that part of my identity. I'm a city girl and DIY is usually, you know, as an industry, is tied to home ownership. Yes, I would definitely love to own a home. That is the plan. But currently, I'm a renter. So I do, you know, speak for the people who may not be able to shiplap their homes, you know, who yeah, may not be right. able to knock out a wall.
You know, I love like, that. They'd be like, oh, you can just, let me show you, be like the 10-second video, let me show you how to, you know, spruce up your office space. And it's like, take out a wall. Okay.
Like, wait a minute.
Who's gonna, apply these shelves to the wall. Exactly. Screw this. And you'd be like, what? I can't do none of that.
Like who is going to pay my security deposit now that I've Real built talk. A mantle over, like, I've built a fireplace in my two-bedroom apartment. Like, how can I do that?
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
And then what does my upstairs neighbor have to say about this fireplace that I built, right? Like, where's this fire? Am I not just lighting the building on fire? So.
Yeah, and too, I love how you have been doing things and showing, like, here's where I get them. And like very similar to how, you know, it goes, right? You have to put different things in your post, say, this is where I got it from, and really break it down. But at the same time, I feel like with DIY, it's this thing where it's like, it's on a budget, but it's really not, because you have, like, all of these different things that if you put it together, you could have just bought another table. Like, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, so I think also I feel, and this may just be me looking through my own lens, but I feel like saying DIY in the space that you're in and really actually saying, like, these are the things that you can use that are, like, around your house, and you're thinking from your perspective and not from a perspective of someone who lives in a different area in a huge house with a bunch of land, you know what I mean? Or, yeah. or something like that. It also shifts that narrative too, that, like, budget really means budget when you're doing it in an apartment, and you know that when you move out of here, you can't rip the wall out and take this out. You know what I mean?
So. And you have to bring it with you. And then also, you know, there is a subset of DIY, like the dollar store crafts people, right? And
yeah.
they do a great job. But I also feel like, no shade to Dollar Tree and dollar stores, but the ones in this region are terrible. Like,
where are you getting that from? Like, exactly. My dollar store ain't nothing like that in years.
Listen, I watch those videos and I'm in shock and awe every single time. Like, wait, you made a shower curtain out of what? They have that? Right. And it's not right. here. So that's why I like to do upcycling, because it's literally based on the stuff I find. So hopefully you can find something similar, so you will not be right. in my comment section saying, I couldn't find that. Well, you got to just roam the streets. Roam right. the streets and find your equivalent.
Yeah, one of my favorite like dollar store hacks or DIYs for the planner community and the paper crafting world is making covers, like traveler's notebooks covers, out of placemats. I thought that was one of the most amazing things I'd ever seen, because I was thinking about getting the traveler's notebooks, and traveler's notebooks, real leather covers, are expensive. and I don't know how to sew leather, and I'm not doing that. So like when I saw people kind of like making these things, I was like, yo, I could do that. I could put a little hole in the placement, run some string through there and put some paint on it, and boom, bam, like I got a cute little cover. So it's definitely some things that you can do. But again, it's got to be stuff that like everybody can find like in their areas.
It's important.
You had an amazing, I want to say year 2020, maybe, or maybe even before then. You were on, like you said, you're an HGTV digital host. You did some hosting for Creativation. I mean, you were killing it out here in, you know, in these DIY streets.
Yes. And then the pandemic hit, right? Girl. But it wasn't, you know what? It's with the pandemic. It was like, okay, I did Creativation around this time, like January 2020. And, you know, it was the second time I had gone to a conference, because my first conference I was able to speak at for crafting was Black Girls Craft. And that was the October before. So that was like October 2019. And then I booked Creativation for January 2020. So I was like, all right, we are, you know, in my shimmy, you know, we're here crafting and traveling for crafts. Right. Half crafts will travel. I started with HGTV Handmade in February of 2020. And, you know, at first it was kind of like, oh, we're going to see like how this is going. And then I became like a part of the team. And then like the next week was the pandemic, right? So I was like, okay, this is cute.
Right. And now it's over. Now it's over.
But thankfully, mm-hmm. like I mentioned before, having like the production experience, right? We started filming from home. So the whole team was basically, because before when I first started, they sent a film crew to my home to do the projects. Now it was like, okay, we're going to do Handmade from home. And I had enough experience where it's like, okay, this is suitable. So I was able to stay on. So that worked out, like I was mentioning before, having that production experience. So I've been with them. It's been about a year now. And, but the rest of 2020, it was kind of like things went up and like certain things went up and certain things went down. I was able to work more so with brands in 2020 than I did ever before. I worked with some brands in the past, but I made more income in the influencer space from like teaching and events, but I couldn't teach in person or do events. And I'm still on the fence about like teaching online. I do it sometimes, but I do like to talk to people in person. But what can you do? It's COVID. So
yeah,
with that like went down, but working with brands and collaborating went up. So I'm still like at even. And I shouldn't even say post pandemic, because we're still here.
We rocking in this thing. Yeah, like, you
know, the new normal.
It definitely is the new normal. What's your advice for someone who maybe is looking into doing something similar to what you're doing, or trying to get into a space and maybe their own craft or their own hobby, and really want to kind of branch out and do some of these things? What's your advice for someone looking to jump into that, especially now?
Put yourself out there. That's my number one advice. Number one, even more so, like, yeah, you should be able to craft, right? But I feel like that's step one. Like, if you want to do crafting, especially in this influencer type of space and expert type of space, like, you should definitely know your craft and keep honing on your craft, but hone on things that are outside of physical crafting. So public speaking, so networking, pitching, all of that, and not being timid, because there's so many people who are like, yeah, I have a blog and, you know, I kind of do. No, once you say kinda, once you say little, people like yeah, their brain just turns off. No one's gonna listen to what you have to say. I have like, I have a little podcast that I'm not even Mm-mm. interested. Even though I'm rooting for you, I'm not interested anymore.
Right, so, but you don't even believe in it. So why do I believe in it?
Exactly. And you'll be surprised how many opportunities I've received just from speaking highly of myself often. And not in an arrogant type of way. It's like, I need to be in the room where it happens. And I can't be in there if I don't say anything. No one's not a psychic. You know, you found me on Clubhouse. And I don't remember which room it was. So it's like,
it was the one that was like about being productive. And it was like a, you were doing, it's like not a lot of talking. And then at the end, everybody was supposed to come back and talk about what they drew or what they wrote.
Oh, my. So you met me in my own room. Okay. Even better.
Yeah.
You know, so, cause you know, sometimes I'm on different stages and just talking about different mm-hmm. things that people have reached out yes. to me. But that's another thing, right? Like I got to Clubhouse and I got there maybe in like November, like early November of 2020. And I said, well, there's not a lot of crafters here, but I know we need a space. So I decided, you know, to do it myself, DIY. I believe life is better when you do it yourself. Like that is my tagline. So you have to just do it. So I created the Crafter Party, and we used to just do chats like on a weekly basis. And then we were approved for like the club. And then I wanted to engage more with, you know, the audience. So, well, you know, members, I should say. So I started these doodle rooms. So we would meet like twice a day. And we've been pretty consistent since Christmas Eve. And we doodle twice a day. You just come, you relax, you draw. It's chill. It's not a lot of talking like how you might be accustomed to in Clubhouse. And then look, that brought us together. Now, if I was just waiting,
I was like, that's dope.
Yeah. And if I was just waiting for someone to find me under my covers to say, hey, do you want to be in this podcast? Like, no one's going to do that.
Yes. Yes. You got to put yourself out there. Absolutely. That's kind of how I feel like I'm actually DIYing a little sign for my office right now, because it's something I need to remember. Like that quote that says, you only miss the shots you don't take, or something like that.
Yeah, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne absolutely. Gretzky.
I love that quote, and I feel like it's been driving me, because there's sometimes when I reach out to like people like you, I was like, oh, she's in this space. She's been on HGTV. She's out here killing it. She's not going to want to talk to me. And then I was like, you know what? No. Do it. Like, do it. Say something, because she's dope. And I think your audience, I was like, my audience is going to love you. So I need to go ahead and say something. But I do that a lot, where I'm like, oh, this person is so-and-so and they're doing this. And why would they want to come talk to me? And then I'm like, because I'm me. What you mean? Like, you know what I mean? Because I'm me and I'm great. And every time I do one of these, somebody is like, I love talking to you. And I'm like, that part right there. So we're going to keep doing this then. So yes, I agree. Like, we never would have been having this conversation if I wouldn't have said, I'm good enough to have this conversation and have this conversation with her. And I think she would be great. And I think it's going to be dope. So let's do it. So I think that's great advice. Mm-hmm. I really do. I absolutely love the fact that you are a hip hop lover, just like me. I told you, I'm all in there with it. I found your game, University of Dope. And I want you to tell everyone what that is and how you started that.
All right. So University of Dope, it is the first card game dedicated to hip hop culture. Me and my business partner, we actually went to college together and we were on the hip hop dance team. We went to college in Connecticut. I live in Brooklyn. She came to visit me one day, and it basically started every time she would come to Brooklyn, she would say, oh, you know, I wonder if I'm going to get into a cash cab. And I'm like, you know, I don't know if anyone remembers that game show, Cash Cab. And I would tell her, like, cash cab, they're not coming to Brooklyn, sis. Like, they're not, sorry. Like, you're not going to get into a cash cab. So, but anyway, we went to go eat dinner, and it was one of those, like, I said to her, I was like, you know, it would be funny if we were in a cash cab and they asked me to name all the members of En Vogue. And I said, I would feel like I feel like we would get put out the car. Like, we would get put out the cab, because I can't name them all, because they always like switched up the members. So we laughed about that. And then I asked her if she can name all the members of Wu-Tang. And she said, yeah, I can name all the members. I didn't believe her. I said, could you name all the members of Wu-Tang if you were drunk? And she said, yeah. I still didn't believe her. But we came back to my house and Googled Wu-Tang drinking game. Like, literally, like, the Googles, that's what it was. And because we figured everything with Wu-Tang existed, so we wanted to buy this Wu-Tang drinking game, and it didn't exist, so we made it up. Wow. And 4 years later, we have University of Dope. It's been 4 years, I should say.
Yes, I love it, and I love the card game, and I love all your merch. When I saw that comment shirt, I was like, I literally died laughing. I was like, first of all, the shade. But the shade of it all. But the shade. like love it and love finding spaces where I am able to express my love of just hip hop and the whole culture and everything, right? The t-shirts, the games, and then, you know, some of the other things that are being produced. I love it. The question that you asked or that I heard being asked through one of the videos I watched about if you had to get rid of one of these people in their entire body of work, Swiss Beats, Dr. Dre, RZA, or Timbaland. I said, first of all, who's she trying? Somebody about to start fighting. Like, what type of,
Well, we do tell people to play responsibly because we do not want to be sued if you decide to beat up your cousin. Like, that is between you and your family dynamics.
I looked at that question. And of course, the one, like, when you ask, like, the best, you know, the best rapper or whatever, and it's like Biggie and Tupac, like, you can't have those conversations amongst people who really, really do this. Cause it's a for real 2-hour argument about why. I was talking to one of my friends about that, just that very question. And she's like, oh, well, you know, I don't really listen to such and such. So maybe Dr. Dre. And I was like, there's no Dr. Dre. There's no Eminem. I'm feeling away. I'm confused. Like, what? There's no NWA. I'm feeling away. You can't do that. Like,
and
so it's like a whole thing.
Yeah, it's and our tagline is unpopular opinions welcome. So
yeah,
you can vote. It doesn't even matter. You can say, you know, I don't like Dr. Dre. Nothing more, right. Nothing less. Like, I don't like that he hasn't released Detox. Like, you can play with everyone's emotions. Bye.
Everybody's emotions.
And just as easy as that.
Yeah, that's real. That's real. But I think it's questions that, like, I have had thoughts about, or like when you see the memes or something somewhere, you're like, oh, I guess I never did it. But you really get the chance to think about and not just talk about whatever is current and what's going on. But with a question like that, you really get to get into history and like who's connected to who. Mm-hmm. And I'm really like deep into who produced what. So like Timbaland and RZA are like two of my favorite producers. And so to have that conversation about what those things look like and who, how many hands they were in, like, yes, like you see that. So I definitely appreciate it. I love it. I think it's amazing. And I cannot wait to play. I have this like really interesting question because I know a lot of people are, well, I think it's interesting, but I know a lot of people are dealing with kind of just being stifled with their creativity. I mean, we're going on, you know, the umpteenth month of the pandemic and really trying to find ways to be creative. What are some of the things that you do to get inspired, like right now?
Okay. Things I do to get inspired, like my brain goes into overdrive, right? With being a creative. So actively resting is something I do to recharge. I think recharging is very important if you are knees deep into being creative and having to produce and turn out content for a living, right? So it's kind of like different ways you can tackle it. So I like to recharge and rest and making sure that I am at my best physically so I can tap more into my creativity. Because like being tired, your output is going to be trash no matter what you're trying to do. So you know, resting for showing and resting for sure and having boundaries on that rest, because there are times where, you know, boundaries are getting more and more blurred that we work more from home. So it's like, hey, you know, you want to just hop on a call, you know, you want to just do this. Hey, you want to just do that. Hey, and then before you know it, you're working 7 days a week, 24 hours a day,
right?
You know, and it's like, right. Actually, I do mind. I'm not doing this. This has to wait until, you know, Sunday or whenever I'm working again. For those who want to get into creativity and that's not something they always do. Like they don't have to do it for profit, right? I think tapping into other mediums, right? So let's say you are traditionally, traditionally you are you do macrame, right? And you may want to doodle, right? Like doodling, like how I have the doodle on, like that's just something to break up the monotony of what you're accustomed to doing. And that can work for anyone, just trying something different, just flexing that muscle. So just like exercise, if you do HIIT and swimming, maybe you want to try yoga just because you're touching different muscles and different pressure points.
Yeah, I tried that. I tried to start like painting and doing different things, and now I'm like doing it all the time. Like this, I love that this happened. Like, it's now I'm like doing it all the time. It's definitely fun to get out, and you just never know what you might discover too. You might discover that you really like doing something, but it can be something that you do outside of whatever you normally do. Like, I'm really heavy into like planning and doing go and goal setting and journaling, and I do a lot of that, but expanding the way that I journal and sometimes like not sharing those things has helped me a lot with being able to share the stuff that I do share, because I'm like, it doesn't feel like anything but me just sitting down with, you know, my free writing, and that's just my little space for that. So I definitely think that helps. What are some of the crafts, or maybe you can say one or three, that you made in your home right now? What are your favorites?
Favorites that I've made in my home. Let me see. Let me think. I made a tray. I did this project for apartment therapy. It was like a mystery, Megan's mystery makeover. Yes. And they sent a bunch of makers and DIYers a wooden tray, and we all had to, flip it, remix it. And that's my square. I like the challenge of that. And instead of just painting the tray or decorating the tray, I turned it into like a laptop desk. And I really like it because it's functional. It's not just pretty, although it is pretty as well.
Very
It's pretty functional, and that is like my right now off the top of my head, that's like my top one right now.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the print that you chose for it too. Every time I see fabric, it makes me itch because I can't sew. And I'm like, I don't know how to do this. And then you're like, you know, put the staple here. And I'm like, shut the front door. I didn't think about stapling.
Staple, baby, staple, some glue. I am not the biggest sewer either. Like, I have a sewing machine, but I made like curtains out of it. So I'm not making anyone's, haute couture.
Right, right. Yeah, I can't do it. I can fix a button. That's about as far as I go. How would you suggest for someone that does not have an art background at all? Like, and not they're not into any of the colors or patterns, and they don't really know anything. How would you suggest that they get into making crafts for their home if they really wanted to?
Okay. How I suggest people getting into crafts for their home. Well, I mean, you should watch my things, right? Just so you get in, watch my videos so you get an idea of things that you want to, try and practice and get a feel for. I think learning techniques is pretty important because, like, techniques, you can it'll go like beyond like a project, right? Because, like, okay, yeah, this like I painted this tray, but if you learn the techniques of painting, you can paint this tray, you can paint a desk, you can paint whatever it
Right.
is that you want to paint.
Right.
So same thing with like embroidery. Like, okay, I learned the basics of embroidery, I can embroider a jacket, I can embroider a pillowcase, I can embroider whatever, stapling, reupholstering, but using like staples. You can do a chair, you can do the laptop desk, you can do other things like with fabric. So learning the techniques of something, I think, is it'll help you save like time and gives you something to practice on and have like a long-term skill.
Thanks so much for joining us this week. I definitely want to thank AV for stopping by the Plan on Purpose podcast and hanging out with us and sharing her story with us. I love, love, love that she shared her love of hip hop, because if you know me, you know your girl is definitely in love with the old school. So I appreciate that. I'm definitely going to pick that game up, and I hope that you will too. Make sure you check the show notes so you can find out all about AV, find her where she is, and support the thing that she's doing, because she's definitely doing it. Make sure you go over to Instagram at Plan on Purpose and let us know what you think about today's episode. Like, share, and subscribe, and don't forget to leave a review wherever you enjoy your podcast. Until next time, I'm here to talk if you're here to listen.